very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. Hope you are having a wonderful day, a marvelous day. Want to say happy birthday to someone very near and dear to us. It's not today, but before I get back on Monday, it will have happened. And so want to make sure that we say happy birthday to them. Like to take you just a moment to invite you out to our church services. This weekend, we are celebrating the church's 74th anniversary. In this day and time where everybody likes to celebrate that which is new and celebrate that which is big, we just want to celebrate God's faithfulness. And we aren't new, and we certainly aren't large, but God has certainly been faithful to Merritt Assembly of God through the years. And this radio program is a testament to that. When we were approached and asked about doing a radio program back in 2013, we didn't have much in the way of financial liquidity. But when we prayed, we felt like God said yes. And then I began to realize that there was a word that God had given me many, many years ago. And even though I thought that word had been fulfilled, God let us know, no, it hasn't been fulfilled. There's a new stage. And so we've been on the air now for going on 13 years. It'll be 13 years the end of October. And if you do not have a church home, we believe strongly in the church. We believe that the church is blessed to be a blessing. That is what our mission statement is. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to the church, and we want to be a blessing to the community. And this coming Sunday, we've got evangelist Bob Fisher that is going to be with us. His wife is going to be with him as well. First time we'll ever have got to meet her. And he's been coming to Merritt Assembly of God for almost 20 years. Not every year, but he's been coming for a prolonged period of time. And this will be the first time that we've ever had the privilege of hosting her. He normally travels, and she had other responsibilities and other duties and things like that. But this year she's traveling with him, and so we're looking forward to what God is going to do. Sunday morning at 10:30, hopefully you can come out and join us as we honor God and welcome the presence of God into our services, to where we can grow and become more like Jesus. So 165 North Grove Street. Hopefully you will come and join us this coming Sunday. If not, we'll meet you back here on the radio waves Monday morning, 8:30 of a morning. We're going to go to John chapter 5 today. I'm going to move through this passage and highlight some things. But when we get to the end of John chapter 5, I'm going to go back and share some of the indictment that Jesus has against these people that he is speaking to. Some of the things that he mentions that God knows about them, which when we look at that, it should cause us to know just how much God pays attention to us. Not just the things that we fall short in, but Revelation, the book of Revelation in chapter 2 and chapter 3, also comment and highlight the wonderful things that God knows about us, the things that we do right. So please don't have this understanding of God that he is just looking to, you know, for you to step out of line for the very first time and boom, then he's going to wipe you out. That is not the heart of God at all. It's not the reality. In verse number 34, Jesus said, I say these things that you may be saved. That's the reality of why Jesus came. So let's begin reading John chapter 5, verse number 31. It says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. That is where we had concluded on yesterday's program. It goes on and says, he, John, was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. That's the truth that brought us to this passage of Scripture. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, or how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you. To the Father, there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, you will not. How will you believe my words? I got correct that there. How will you believe my words? So, Jesus had said in verse number 34 that the things that he was speaking to them were spoken with the purpose that they may be saved. And then he transitions into discussion of the ministry of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner. He was the one who was preparing the way. He was the one that was operating in the spirit of Elijah. And Jesus describes his ministry as a burning and shining lamp. And you know what? I pray that that is what people experience in us. I pray that the calling of God and the presence of God in our lives brings light to an atmosphere that desperately needs light, not so that people will see us, but they will see the impact that the presence of God can make in their lives. So this last Sunday I was preaching on the house of God, and I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it was talking about that there is a a positive impact on the lives of believers, that believers move from ungodly character to godly character, that, you know, they would not be people who operated in malice, but they would operate from a position of love, that, you know, people in the church do not need to operate by the same standards that the world operates. We're not motivated by greed. We're not motivated by ungodliness or selfish ambition. Instead, we need to operate by God. And so it should reflect in our character. It also talks that we should be mature in our understanding, that we should be growing in the house of God. And so there's a lot of people that say this, well, I don't go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. I want you to know there are some hypocrites that do, you know, unfortunately compromise the purpose that God created the church for. It's not something new. It's been in existence since the New Testament time. What the scripture writers indicate, though, is that many times those people who are hypocritical, in other words, there's a difference between the things that they say and the things that they do, that many times those are plants by the enemy to compromise the mission and the ministry of the church. I also shared that the church is also for unbelievers. And in that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul writes that there are people who are unbelievers and then there are people who are uninformed. You know, it was only a few decades ago where the majority of Americans had as part of their normal routine going to church on Sunday morning. It not only was people, the majority of people, it was in the very high percentiles, people claiming to be Christians, they were actually practicing going to the house of God. Jesus, it says in the scriptures that he went to the synagogue, listen to this, as was his custom. And so going to the house of worship was not only something that was part of his routine, it was also part of his purpose. When Jesus showed up at the synagogue, there were people who got healed, there were people who got delivered, there were people who had their eyes opened, there were people who were so impressed, they were like, where did he get all of this learning? There were also people who were thoroughly agitated, and there were people who said, we don't ever want you to come back here again. But Jesus, you know, was constantly advancing the kingdom of God, and part of that was being in the house of God. There are many people today who do not have much of an inkling or an understanding of who Jesus is, and what information they may have may come from people who are really not fully aware of who Jesus is themselves. So, here Jesus talks about John the Baptist, and he says he was a burning and shining lamp. And so I want to challenge you today that the light of the world, Jesus, has come and wants the church to bring light to our world because we reflect the radiance of his glory, the reality of who he is. And so John, even though he was ministering in an adverse location, a hostile location, a place that it wasn't easy to get there, it wasn't easy to sustain a presence there, people went to hear what he had to say because he was anointed by God, called by God, and was preparing the way for Jesus. And it says they were willing to rejoice in his light. So earlier this year, in the middle of the night, I accidentally broke a lamp that sits by on the nightstand by my head. And it was a replacement lamp. I'd had one of those types of lamps. I wore it out after, you know, a few decades, and my wife got me a newer version. And, you know, I really didn't think I used that lamp that frequently. And so when that one broke, I said, hey, don't even bother replacing that lamp. I don't really need it. I don't really use it. Let's not spend the money. Let's not replace the lamp. And that lasted for about 2 months. And in that time, I came to realize that I used that lamp a lot more than what I thought I did. Even though I thought it was just kind of sitting there collecting dust, I found out that there were a lot of times when I was trying to find something in the dark and I'd just reach over there and turn the lamp on. The reason that I know that I used it that much is because I reached for it over and over and over again and found out, you know, oh yeah, you're the guy that broke that lamp accidentally. And it's not there anymore. A lot of times we may minimize the impact that a person's words, a person's life is having on us, and you won't really appreciate it until it's not there anymore. Jesus said, y'all started off willing to rejoice, that finally someone was not preaching down to them the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, but instead he was ministering to people and speaking truth and speaking the heart of God. And he wasn't speaking from a position of arrogance or superiority. He was speaking and saying, hey, we're all in this together and we all need to repent because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is very near. And that was all fine, well, and good for the people. However, the religious leadership did not care for that. Eventually, Herod did not appreciate that. And because of his message, John was cast into prison. And while he was there, even though he had a supernatural revelation, hey, that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and hey, behold him, he must increase, I must decrease. All of a sudden, John finds himself in a difficult place, and he sends some of his disciples to Jesus, and he begins to ask, are you the one who is to come, or are we supposed to look for someone else? Even John, in difficult circumstances, was wondering whether his light was making a difference. I can tell you, after 33 years of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and seeing, you know, new things happen and things like that, and you know, here we are, we're still being faithful and we're still reaching as many people as we possibly can, doing everything that we can. There are times when you look around and saying, wow, you know, there's really not a lot of increase here. And it's, you know, it's not that we don't see increase. Last Saturday, I did a memorial service. I did a memorial service that if it had been done a year and a half earlier, would have had a much different tone to it than it did. It was for an elderly gentleman who gave his heart to the Lord in the last year, started coming to church, would come up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm so hungry. I there's so much that I need to learn." And he was bringing other people to church with him. Listen, I was able to celebrate that his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life because we had those conversations personally. The way that people respond to our light is not our concern. The fact that we shine like a lamp that's set up on a hill to impact the atmosphere around us, that is what we are supposed to do. We are responsible for our obedience. We're responsible to continue to abide in God and His Word to abide in us, and to function in love. But, you know, just like John the Baptist, it says here, they were willing for a time to rejoice in His light. And the implication is that there came a time when people were no longer willing to rejoice in that. When Jesus showed up, the crowds, the multitudes began to follow Jesus. And John just kept on. Verse number 36, it says, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." We've already talked about in some other programs about the various things that testify to the reality of who, or the things that testify that Jesus is who He says He is. And I have a list of that information here someplace in my notes, but the Father testified to Him, the works testified to Him. There's a lot of things. So let me just, the Father testified about Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus' works, Jesus' words, the Scripture, Moses, the crowd, the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John, all of the disciples, all of those things were testifying about the reality of who Jesus was. And here Jesus adds that the works that God had given Him to finish. So it's a Friday. There's a joke that goes on in our family. And it has to do with a project that started back in the 1970s. That there was a Martin house, a house that was built to house Martin birds. And it was started decades ago. And the person who started that project eventually put up a Martin house. And the question was, did you put up the Martin house that you started? And this person just enjoys seeing the birds come and go and other birds try and come in and things like that. But the Martin house that is up is not the Martin house that was started. It was a substantially large Martin house. I'm going to be honest with you. But it was started. It was never finished. And I'm sure all of us have projects that we started, but we didn't finish. And I can tell you that God doesn't tell us to start things that He wants us to abandon. He gives us things to do so that we will not only start the journey, but finish the journey. start the project, finish the project. God never fails to complete the objective that he sets out to accomplish. So I always like to talk about things where I've had God speak to me. And I want to show you that we're not in this position because of perfection. We're just here because it's where God assigned us. And it was many, many years ago. And so my son was out of high school, but he was still living at home, and I felt like God wanted me to pray and walk from all the way from Mather's Bridge all the way up to the Space Center, and from the western boundary to the eastern boundary. And so that first day I started off, it was like 12 miles. I ran out of water. I started cramping. Even though I walked a lot, I hadn't walked that much. And it was painful. I had to call my son, and he had to come and rescue me because I was at a point I couldn't go anymore. And I didn't continue that project for a year and a half or 2 years. And one day I was sitting in my office and God said, did you ever finish that? Now, when God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. And I said, no, sir, I didn't. And he said, well, let's finish that. And he gave me a strategy. So I set out to finish the project. And in doing so, I saw things that were taking place in the community that I had no idea existed. I saw historic landmarks that I had no idea that they were there. And I encountered spiritual things that were going on in the community that I was unaware of. Jesus is not only one who starts, he's not only the Alpha, he is also the Omega. So I want to talk to you today on this Friday and ask you, is there anything that God has asked you to do? You started it, but you haven't finished it. Maybe you've got some projects around the house. You started, but you haven't finished. I want you to ask God to pray, I want you to pray and ask God, would you give me a strategy so that I can finish this for your glory? I not only want to start, I want to finish well. Let's finish strong, Brevard. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.